Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, shalom, daughters of Zion. Blessings to you all, and thank you so much for tuning in once again for another episode of Sister to Sister. It's so good to be back. My name is Sister Jennifer, and I will be your host tonight. I pray that you can all hear me. I'm able to see the chat room, so if you could please put your numbers on a scale from 1 to 10 in the chat room and let me know if I'm coming in loud and clear. If I'm not, I can go ahead and make the proper adjustments. Let me bring Sister Ashley online. Sister Ashley, can you hear me? And please give us a sound check and so we can see if we can hear you or not.
Yes, ma'am. I hear you very well. I'm thankful for the chat tonight. It is working. My phone call list is not working, and my computer is dragging for some reason. So I hope we don't have any complications tonight, and I pray that each of you are staying excited about life, loving, living life, loving, serving the Father, and I pray that we may edify you in some way tonight. We'll see how the show goes, but we are here for you, servants for you, and we are excited as the days quickly approach to Tabernacles. Bless each of you. My name is Sister Ashley, and back to you, Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. As she said, we are here for you all tonight. Tonight's show, we're just going to open the phone lines right away. So please call in. And if you need us, if you have questions tonight, call 515-602-9654. 515-602-9654. Press the number 1, and you will be allowed to come on live and speak with us. Now, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk a little bit about GOTS. We're just going to kind of go back and forth. And what we want to hear from you all is, did you attend GOTS? If you did, what did you learn? So 515-602-9654. If you've attended GOTS and you want to share what you've learned, and let us know what you've already implemented when you went back home or what you plan to implement very soon. Sister Ashley, please give your acknowledgement.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah to you, Abba Yahweh, my Father in heaven, our Creator, the reason that we are all living and breathing and moving. For the most part, we all have a spirit, and I thank Him for that spirit. I thank Him for His order, His laws that He is restoring. I thank Him for destroying our thrones as women and creating a humility in our spirits that we may all love each other. I praise Him for His pastors, all of them. We had a beautiful time with Pastor Joe Fox and his wife that came out for GOTS. I thank Him for Pastor Joe Fox. He's a great friend of Pastor, and I'm very thankful for his support. Pastor Dow really does need support with as much hate and as many enemies as we have as a people. I thank Him for Pastor Corey, all the Kansas City Saints. I thank Him for all the seeds that He's planted into the women. Many women are pregnant in this ministry, and I pray that He will continue to give the increase as He sees fit. I bless Him for my master and head, Deacon Bell. And I'm very thankful to be linked up with Him, married to Him, and be with Him and know Him on this side of glory. There's no one else I love more. So back to you, Jennifer.
Hallelujah. First and foremost, I just want to acknowledge the Most High for His mercy and His protection, for keeping His people safe in the midst of disasters such as, you know, the hurricane that hit Texas. I'm so thankful that our people were not only safe, but they were definitely prepared. I just want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his leading and his love for Yah's people. He truly has it in his heart to lighten the load for the man of Yah in any way that he can, and it's an honor for me to serve a husband who shows his commitment to Yah by serving the ministry in the way that he does. I want to acknowledge Pastor Dow for his endless labor for Israel, you know, and it's such a great honor to have a true shepherd obeying Yah and taking care of Yah's sheep, making sure that we follow the ways of the Father and not our own ways. And that's so important because you don't get that nowadays with pastors in Christianity or wherever you may come from. So bless you, shepherd. Sister Ashley, you mentioned pregnancy, and we were talking a little bit beforehand, you know, before we go into GOTS, we were talking a little bit beforehand about being pregnant, and I said to Sister Ashley, sometimes I forget that you're pregnant because you don't have the typical pregnancy woes that you hear from, you hear about from women who are pregnant in the world. So can you talk about that a little bit, about what we talked about, please?
Sure. I like to acknowledge the Father for the strength and breath that He gives me, as well as the mind that He gives me. I could go so many different ways with this answer, and I guess I'll take a few minutes just to ramble while we wait on some of your phone calls. We're not going to be long before you tonight if you don't call in, sisters. But, yeah, I had another sister just recently tell me the same thing, Sister Jennifer, how I had said I really love being pregnant, or how, you know, or basically how great I am doing. And she said, I've never heard, you know, a pregnant woman say that ever. So I don't know what women are saying or doing or thinking in the world about being pregnant. But as a mother, it's the joy of my life to be with my children. And, you know, the life that I have here on the land affords me the time with them, as well as, you know, schooling them, teaching them. And so they're a true joy. And when you I have two already of Deacon's children, when you have that another seed in you, you have another life in you, I don't take a day of it for granted, and I really don't think that we should negatively affect our seed with our thoughts or our actions or just the way we feel. Because, yes, I, you know, do get tired, or I do move slower, or, you know, have had some fatigue, or I've, you know, made last with some sisters because of my 2 months of, like, emotional, I don't know what that was. Everything was sad. And, I, you know, some of the sisters laugh at me when I tell them, I just cried. I didn't mind. You know, it was okay to cry. Like, I just knew I was only sad because I was pregnant anyway. So just cry, you know, tell a story. Everything was sad, or everything was, tearful and joyful. So that was a very interesting 2 months of this pregnancy. But I just really embrace having Deacon's child in me. It is an honor. I, too, if you've heard my story probably multiple times, remember what it was like to have the battle in my mind, thinking that I was barren, thinking that I would not conceive. And with my history and what we went through, another show, another time, I really embrace being able to have a child. If you have ever had the thoughts that you are barren, it is a miserable, you know, battle, because you see that the Father is so sovereign. And only He can give you life, and it's completely out of your control. And all you have is question marks of why, you know, why can't I, and what's wrong with me, and this has happened, and that's happened. I've spoken to many women or sisters that are not bearing seed now at this time, and it's a huge battle, Sister Jennifer, but I hope I answered it. I'm just really excited about being pregnant. I don't know the due date. You know, it's my conviction as well as my husband's direction to have our midwives and not have any hospital or medical care. So I state that live on the show that I will not be going to a hospital. With the faith that we have, I know that the Father will see us through. So we'll bring forth another child soon. I'm thinking it would be wonderful to make it to the feast, right? For any of you who missed the feast, you know how priceless that is. But what if you were on the land and you missed it? And some of you might go, well, how would you miss it? We keep the purification laws, as stated in Leviticus 14. If I'm wrong, it's Leviticus 12. So I will be inside, 41 days if I have a boy, and, 81 or 82 days? I'm just taking guesses because it's there. The math is there in the word for us. But if I have a girl, so you guys aren't going to hear my voice, but you will get Jennifer's weekly updates or monthly updates of how I'm doing, as well as the baby's name and all that good stuff. So we're just patiently waiting the day, and I'm embracing every moment and every day with the saints as if it's my last.
Hallelujah! Such a spirit of gratitude. And before we talk about guts, I just want to highlight how important it is to really govern your thoughts and to really control your mind as when it comes to really anything, but especially when you're with child, when you're carrying your husband's seed. It's so important to make sure that your mind is focused on the things of Yah. Your mind is focused on righteousness, and your mind is focused on giving life and not death. Because you can actually transfer spirits into your child, unwanted spirits into your child that your child would have to deal with later on in life. I remember having a conversation recently with another sister, and we were talking about rejection from the womb. And, you know, and I remember telling her, I said, you know, I don't think that I've even dealt with that before. So I got on the phone and I called my mother and I asked her, I said, you know, I need you to think about something. What was it like when you were pregnant with me? What were your thoughts like? And it was just a general question, and I told her to take some time to think about it. Well, she called me back the same day and she said, you know, the only thing that I can think about is how sick I was when I was pregnant with you. She said she was so sick that if she saw someone crack an egg on television, she would throw up. And it was like that for her for the whole pregnancy, for the whole 7 months. So she had me very early and she was sick for the whole 7 months. And to the point where she was so sick that when she went to go into labor, and after she delivered me, she decided that she was going to get her tubes tied because she didn't want to conceive anymore. She didn't want to go through that anymore. So So you just really never know how your thoughts can affect, you know, your child later on in life. So it's an honor for really to hear Sister Ashley talk about her pregnancy, carrying the seed of her husband, you know, in such a positive way. So bless you, Sister Ashley. It's very refreshing to just hear a woman who loves being a woman who loves being a mother. So it's not something that we take lightly, and it's just we can all learn from it, Daughters of Zion. Did you want to add anything, Sister Ashley?
I do. I had a few thoughts come to mind. I hope I can bring them all back up. But, you know, with my first child, I'm just giving this as an example because we all have so many different, you know, pregnancy stories. But with my first child, I bled mostly the entire time. And that was, you know, another scare. You struggle with the fear. You think you're losing it. You know, here we go back to maybe I am barren. Maybe I can't carry it. But he was a success nevertheless. And so I kept myself as strong as I could. But what I wanted to say, using that as an example, because I've had somewhat extreme differences in pregnancies, let's say between this one and the first, and I just wanted to encourage those who actually do have the symptoms, as Jennifer said, it's just a mind struggle. You have to really strengthen your mind and try really hard not to vocalize the things that are really going on, because you are going to have symptoms based upon your health, based upon the condition of your body. And it is very important that you eliminate shit, poop, the entire time. And that's going to cause you a lot of problems if you don't, period. And that was my first pregnancy woes and issues. But if you are having the symptoms of, you know, the negativity, the mood swings, the frustration, the everything, you fight so hard to be consumed with the gratitude that you're having a living soul grow inside of you, and continually thanking the Father for it, that I don't want it to seem like, you know, these things aren't going to be issues, because stuff does arise and come up. But for the young Daughters of Zion, teenagers and older, anyone who knows they're going to carry a child or wants to be a mother, it's important to get your body right now and try, you know, for the most part, to fight a good fight of faith in your mind, get your mind really strong, not to ever say, oh, when I'm a mom, I'm going to do this, and when I'm a mother, I'm going to do that. Just try not to ever do the nevers and the I wills and the, you know, some of those things. Just keep your mouth really shut. And then as well as, what else, Jennifer? There's dreams. A lot of people have dreams when they are pregnant. That's, if you want to say, normal. What you don't ever want to do is get online and base your normal pregnancy on the world's normality. Because we're coming off of, you know, diabetes is normal now, right? So they're gonna tell you a blood sugar level of such and such, so and so is normal, when in actuality maybe you should be nowhere near that. They're basing their ratios and their percentages off of a very unhealthy people. So you just wanna, you know, get a really good relationship with the Father, stay very obedient to your husband, and do the very best you can with your attitude as you do have struggles come about. So that's it, Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. And the world will tell you that you can eat what you want. You know, they'll have the idea that you're eating for two, and you are eating for two, but it really means more about the quality of food that you eat, and it's not about the quantity. So just really learn to govern your thoughts. And, you know, we're going to talk about Gathering of the Saints tonight, testimonies, experiences. And, you know, that's really about preparation. Being prepared. And like she said, you don't wait until you're pregnant. You don't wait until you actually deliver the child to do what you're supposed to do. No, you do that now. You get your body prepared now. You get your mind prepared now. So it's really about being prepared in every single state, every single situation for whatever is to come. So I just wanted to share that. So this show is not about pregnancy tonight. That's another show in the future. Let's talk about Gathering of the Saints. Sister Ashley was saying that she's so thankful, so grateful, really, to have the saints on the land. I'm grateful that we were able to watch the videos and just to be updated. You know, Pastor Dow recorded some videos. Sister Ashley made sure that we were updated on Straightway Help Meets, and it really was helpful for us who did not attend. But Sister Ashley, tell us, what exactly is GOTS? What is Gathering of the Saints?
Yes, ma'am. I got to say first to y'all listeners, my phone list is not pulling up at all. There's only one caller in what we call the caller queue, and that's Jennifer. That means on the night that we pick to just take phone calls, because we often don't allow phone calls to come into our show, I can't take them or receive them, and I have a lot of blanks on my computer screen. There's nothing else I can do. I can't refresh. I can't reboot. Nothing. So the only way that we're going to be able to receive questions is going to be via chat, unless something changes, and I'll let you know. So please ask your questions in the chat room. Gathering of the Saints is, it's so much, you know, it really is so much. There are seven feasts of Yahweh, two of which we really capitalize on, being Pesach and Sukkot, Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, as well as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, being a very big day, which Jennifer has told you in times past to wear white. So Gathering of the Saints is actually a set-apart time that is not involving a feast day of Yahweh that allows for many people to come from, yes, around the world, as well as preppers, people that may not follow us or follow Yeshua, but at the same time be prepping for what they know is to come, which is a change, a great change in the earth. So this year's GOTS, just use it as an example, is a time for people to travel here, to enjoy fellowship, to greatly experience how we live, because there's usually at least one person that's really moved by what they see or the spiritual fruit that they see amongst us, and they will make changes in their life. So it's also a time that the Father will gather a soul or more. It is a time that you will see how we prep, as well as how we, how Pastor or Pastor Joe Fox, Pastor Dow may train. It's a really awesome time to learn the skills that you will not ever learn anywhere else unless you were to travel to a homestead or a form of gathering much like our own, where you could actually get hands-on training in butchering or defense, et cetera, et cetera. So we offer many classes year after year. This was something that Pastor Joe Fox, his idea that he had done before at other places that he approached Pastor Dow with. And, of course, Pastor Dow shook on it and said, yeah, let's start it. This was our sixth annual GOTS on the land. Our first one was off the land. We've only skipped 1 year, I think, out of the past 7 years. We've only canceled it, and that was last year. But GOTS is an awesome opportunity for people to meet one another. We had a lady who, her and her husband, had never even heard of Pastor Dow, had never even heard of our ministry, never watched our videos, ever, strictly came with Pastor Joe Fox, you know, via prepping, Viking preparedness, his channels on YouTube that are out there. And she came to me at the end as she was leaving and gave me a hug and just said, you know, my husband's going to look into you all's face. You know, they were greatly moved by what we saw. So it's just an awesome opportunity for every form of fellowship and knowledge to be gleaned. It's almost too much to take in. And this year's crowd was so kind, so generous, very grateful. Even though some of them were not what we would call saints who have accepted the faith of Abraham, at the same time, they were the utmost respectful crowd, hands down, I believe, my opinion of any GOTS that I have ever partaken in. So how's that for an answer, Jennifer? I still can't get any phone calls, sister.
That's an awesome answer. I'm actually seeing a comment in the comment section. It's, I don't know if you see it or not, but it's 931 area code, probably not showing up on your end in the caller queue, 931 area code. Are you able to see it on your end, Sister Ashley?
No, ma'am. I have a lot of computer issues tonight, a lot.
Okay.
I don't see it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just go forward. You know, I wanted to talk about the, you know, you watch, there's some of these people who just prep, like you can see them on YouTube. They're called preppers, but they prep for a living, and they could tend to prep out of fear, you know, because of fear of what's to come. But us in the faith, you know, we first and foremost prepare our hearts by making sure that we are in order with the Most High Yah, that we prepare from that time. We prepare for a time when, you know, food and other resources won't be available to us. You know, we prepare for a time when we may need to defend ourselves or our family or our property. So our focus is not just on storing up food. Our focus is on the Most High Yah, and from that, out of obedience, we prepare our hearts, we prepare our minds, and you know, we prepare across the board. So, Sister Ashley, did you just give us a little bit about you know, the difference between how the world preps or how the world prepares compared to how we prepare in the faith?
Yes, ma'am. I have a good example, actually, live from this event that I spoke to a woman about. I first didn't want to forget to thank Sister Courtney, specifically from Mother Carol, but from all the sisters as well as Pastor. Sister Courtney, if you're listening tonight, thank you for all the supplies that you continually send behind the scenes. She sends us boxes and boxes and boxes of, I won't tell you what it is, but we need it. We need it, and she's always thinking about us. I do want to announce later Judah's Closet if it comes up, but if not, let's go to this question, Jennifer. So there was a particular sister here, very kind woman. I don't know if I can say sister yet, but very kind, and she just gave an example of her prepping, you know, her and her husband, and talked a little bit about her farmland and her homestead and what they do. And as far as because we live in unity with one mind, we're going to have a lot of strength, not because of large numbers, but just because of our obedience to and our submission to follow the leadership here. And she was really shocked at that, you know, the willingness and the volunteering and the servitude that we all function in. Because, for example, in something that she would be a part of, you would need to come to the table with an X amount of food for an X amount of years before you can even involve yourself in their group. So you would have to have this amount of food or this amount of, I don't know, ammunition, whatever it is that is required of you before you could even come into this group. And when you got into that group, it's still not that you have the trust that we do. So you may have 99 acres over here, Jennifer, and your husband has gathered 10 years worth of food. So if he's going to get a group together that could potentially move to your land if a shit hits the fan situation breaks down, or if he and this group has decided that another location is going to be where you meet, then you're going to need to have each of those people, no matter what state they're from or county, what she didn't say, but each of those have to meet certain requirements. And even at that, you're not getting daily fellowship. You don't know them by nature. You don't know their potential, if they would take from you. So it's a completely different scenario and much more scary, but actually the best that the world can produce. You know, that is the best that the world is going to produce, because you're not going to get people to live like we live if you remove the Yah factor.
That makes a whole lot of sense. You know, in a community setting such as the way we're set up here with Straightway, not only on the land in Tennessee, but the other communities as well, you know, you are, when you're living like, you know, the people did in the book of Acts, you get to know people, you get to know them that labor among you. And so you don't live in fear of, you know, if something happens, can I trust these people? You automatically know who you're connected with and who you're living with. Whereas, like she said, out in the world, you know, you don't commune and you don't fellowship with those people on a day-to-day. So it's very true. I'm just trying to look and see if I can see anything. We got callers trying to call in, but we're actually having problems with the phone line. So if you all could type your questions in the chat room, then we can go ahead and read those. I got a caller from Georgia, so if you could write your question down and slide it under the door, I'll read it on air. I guess that's the best we can do.
Right. I usually have, for example, on my screen that I look at, I have a list to my right side of songs that I could play for you all, as well as our beloved sister Wenda's ministry break that we play, where you hear her say our address and things. All that to my right side is completely messed up. I usually have a continual clock running on my left side that tells me how much time I have left on this episode of Blog Talk. It is completely blank. I have zero people called in. It would look like to me if I was just talking to myself, because I don't have anybody listening to the show and nobody called into the show. It's me and Jennifer only on the screen. I'm not kidding you, which is very interesting because we chose tonight for calls. What in the world? And I got the caller queue just up that says, you know, 931's trying to call in, 706 is trying to call in. I can't see nothing. I can't answer you if I can't see. So please, Father, intervene. Jennifer.
Hallelujah. But like I was saying, you know, when you live in, on a community setting, you get to know the people who you labor with, and you get to know the strengths of the people that you labor with. You get to know their weaknesses. They get to know yours as well. You're able to become vulnerable with those people, and you're not in fear of being taken advantage of. And so that's why it's so important to have a leader to follow, you know, a shepherd, a pastor to follow, because he won't put you in a situation where you're going to be taken advantage of. So I just wanted to just say that. Did you have anything to add as far as on those lines, as far as community setting is concerned?
Right, just being humorous, of course, but backing your words up, when you do live together and you have the opportunity to know each other, I'll give the example of, you know, in hard times, if it falls to we're all eating one meal a day together, whatever the scenario may be, my sister Vicky is going to be greatly tempted if there's watermelon locked up in the storage room, right? Because I know that's her favorite thing on earth. Our mother Carol absolutely loves fish. So she's going to be tempted to take that fish, right? It's me being funny because I don't believe anyone's going to take. But what happens when you live together and you become a family unit, you know each other's favorites. You know what we like, don't like. You know if we fast or not. You know if we have the potential to lie. You know if we are lazy, if we don't show up. I mean, all the everything has a signature, you know. Jordan knows if I forgot to clean off the stove because it was my cook day, if I have the potential to continually forget to wipe it down and she's got to continually come to me and say, hey, I wiped it for you again, you left it again, you know what I mean? So it's a very personal walk, and a lot of people don't want to see themselves the way that we're able to see each other here. You literally, when you come out of your house every morning, you're facing the saints, the people of Yah, which are bought and paid for possession of Yah, that are worthy of great treatment. They're worthy of your servitude. So you have to walk with your head high. You have to be motivation, you know, motivated. You have to be encouraging so that you don't drag down spirits. So it's a very high discipline life that we live. And because of that high discipline, that's what keeps us very set apart. And that's what keeps the fear of Yah amongst us at all times.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, you said something that was very important. You said that, you know, sometimes you don't want to see yourself for who you really are. But when you live communally, you don't have a choice at all, because you're going to learn about yourself. You think that you're going to learn about everybody else. You know, you're going to learn what their faults are. But that's not true. You're going to learn what your faults are first and foremost. And then from there, you'll learn about your brother or your sister. But you don't have a choice but to see who you are. You don't have a choice but to see the wickedness in you when you start living with other people, when you start living communally. And those things would not come out if you were living by yourself, because you would give yourself a pass. You know, you would just kind of let things slide. You wouldn't challenge yourself. But when you live with your sisters, you live with your brothers, you're going to be challenged in that way. So I thought it was good that you brought up how you don't want to see yourself. And I just want to bring this up. I was watching today, Sister Ashley and I were talking about a testimony that she gave, I believe it was 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, actually. And it's a personal testimony she had, and that's what we're going to base our show off of next week. But you know, it takes a high level of brokenness to really get to in order to stop thinking carnally, to stop thinking the way that the world has taught you to think, and to start thinking the way that the Father thinks. And you can really see, when you watch this testimony, you can see the brokenness that is all over Sister Ashley as she's giving her testimony. And I can truly say that she has been different since then, different in a good way. The Father has really changed her heart, and she's allowed him to do that. So again, you know, you don't want to see yourself, but when you live communally, you don't have a choice. Sister Ashley?
It's so true. You don't have a choice. And I'll share with you, Jennifer, this is a story, y'all, that was passed down through my husband read it, okay, and he read it years ago. And so he has just recently shared it with me, and I was like, wow, that was really, really awesome. Story. I wanna share it with a sister sometime, you know. So it's just now coming up in my heart. But so it's gonna be a little watered down, because it's, you know, years ago he read it, and then he told me what he remembered, and now I'm telling you what I remember. So I hope it doesn't take away from the potential impact. He had actually glorified Sister Barb with some words as we were driving in the car down the hill one day. And I praised her as well for her servitude, because on this land, there's none like her. There really isn't. And you can kind of say that about a lot of people. You know, there's none like Sister Vicky in her area, and there's none like Mother Carol in her area, et cetera. So you really get an awesome opportunity to become a servant. But as he said what he said, a story had come to his mind that I thought was really beautiful, because this imagine this, okay, so you're a pastor. It was an old-timey preacher. And this preacher had a dream. He had a dream that he had went off to glory, to Shemaim, and he was sitting on the front row of this very huge, very beautiful, you know, all gold, all these details. You can imagine how beautiful Shemaim is. So these colors, everything he's never seen, right? And he's sitting on the front row as the angels are preparing I guess you could call it a ceremony. And this ceremony was many angels having to carry a crown that was too heavy for one angel. So they're preparing and cleaning this crown as they're carrying it, and he was sitting in his seat, and he was brand new to the kingdom, so he was so excited that he was going to receive his crown. So he sat on the front row, and he watched this whole thing and was just in awe that he had made it. Remember, this is a pastor, so Yeshua comes over to him and says, I'm going to need you to get up. And he says, he looks at the Messiah like, who, me? You know, because he could tell that by the tone of the Messiah's voice, he's going, you're not asking me to get up and go receive my crown. You're asking me to move, right? So the Messiah points to the very, very back, which is a whole sea of people. And he says, your seat is back there. And he asked him, well, I thought that I had you need me, sir? Oh, bless you. Come check me out. Brother Scott's going to help me out while I finish the story. You see it. So he says, I want you to go sit in the back, because I have thousands of you, and I only have a couple of her. Yes, he got it. I have phone calls. Brother Scott, what did you do?
Refreshed.
He refreshed. I didn't see the refresh button, but we'll catch that another time, right? Because I told y'all I can't refresh. So he says, I have thousands of you. That's a very impactful story, right? For the Messiah to have that testimony about us, me, you, listening. Man, there's thousands of you, you know? Yes, hallelujah, welcome to the kingdom, but I only have a couple of her, right? And so I'm going to need you to go take your seat, get in your rightful place, so that I can give this crown to the woman who is deserving, you know? And I don't know, I hope that helps you, because it really inspired me to look at yourself as someone that is just fitting in, just getting by, just merely accepting being an Israelite, not looking to be broken, because it takes brokenness to go farther with Yah. You can stay the same way you are forever, especially if you don't live communally. Yah will look like he's tolerating you for many, many years, you know, and he's not using you at all. But, yeah, so shout out to Grandma Barb, who inspired that story to come out of my husband's heart. I see a caller, Jennifer. Can I go there?
Absolutely.
Hallelujah. I have a new caller from Tennessee that has hung in there this whole time. Erica 931, you're live. 931.
Hello, this is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm actually this is my first time calling, second time listening to the show. I'm very new to this, so I was just wanting to call in and say hi and make myself known.
Hi, Nicole. 931, is that Clarksville, Tennessee?
It's actually a Tullahoma number. I live in Murfreesboro.
Okay. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling in. What was your first video you caught of Pastor Dow, or how did you find us?
A friend sent me the link to the website, and I went on there, and I clicked on, I don't remember, one of the videos that were on the website, and then I went to the YouTube channel. So I think I spent about 12 hours. I didn't sleep at all that night.
Yeah.
I just watched video after video after video after video, and I just remember feeling normal after watching these videos and feeling and understanding why I have been such an outcast all my life.
Hallelujah. Make sure you give your friend a big, big hug and say thank you. You have found your family, Nicole. Bless you.
I have.
Hallelujah. Will we be seeing you anytime soon?
Yes. Yes. I talk about it all the time, and I have children, so I told them about it, and they're excited. So, yes, you'll be seeing us soon.
Hallelujah. Give us a call whenever you know your date so we can receive you hospitality-wise and all those things as we prepare for you and your family. Anything from you, Jennifer? It's good to hear a new caller, a new voice.
Absolutely. It is very good to hear a new voice, and, you know, Pastor always says to call in and make yourself known. So it's great that you've done that so early on, and we look forward to seeing you and meeting you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bless you. Is that it, Sister Ashley? You there?
Oh, yes. I was on mute and I was talking to you. That's for humor. But I said it sounds like I'm always the host when I'm taking the calls, but that's because I'm the only one that can receive the calls until we actually make the transition to where Jennifer is hosting from her land there in Georgia. So if that makes sense to y'all, I jump in the host spot. So I got one more. Let's go to Georgia. 706, Sister Hadassah, bless you.
Shalom. It's actually Sister Chandray.
Bless you, Sister Chandray.
Bless y'all. I just wanted to call and share the class, the women's self-defense class.
Yes.
Pastor Fox and Sister Kate taught. It was a really good class. Of course, I can't share the moves with y'all, but there's three things that he gave us. There's three colors that we should keep in our minds, like sisters, when we're out and about. The first one is white, and white is a person who is not aware of their surroundings. They're on their cell phone texting. They're not looking around. They're looking down. They're not paying attention to anything or anyone around them. He said that is the worst state that you can be in when you're in the Walmart parking lot or just anywhere, anytime that you're out. He said you should be in a yellow state, and yellow is a cautious state. And this person is looking around, looking confident, and watching their surroundings, looking at people, you know, in their eye, when you get out the car and you're looking at them. And by looking around, you may notice that someone is looking suspicious and that they may be watching you. He even said that just because if you see a man just walking, he said, don't take it for granted that, oh, he's not looking at me or he's not paying attention to me. He said that could be a way of them, you know, making it look like they're just minding their own business, when actually when you could be looking the other way, he could be looking at you trying to see, you know, and looking around and seeing how he can attack you or walk up to you. And the last one is the red state. He said that's the state where you're, okay, somebody is watching me and they look like they're you're ready to come over to hurt me. And he said you should be ready, and you should be ready to run and scream, or if they happen to be on you, you should be on your best defense and where you can defend yourself if they already have come up, like, you know, really close to you. But if you're in yellow at all times, no one should be able to come up to you and get that close, get in your space. I guess your space would be your arm's length and maybe a little further away. Another thing he said was, if someone was to come up to you, or someone was to come and try and ask you, do you have the time, or can I use your cell phone? He said that you should immediately just say no, you know, with the voice of, you know, like, leave me alone. And he said if they happen to say, well, I just want to know the time, he said that's called negating your no, and that means that they want to hurt you and that they're not listening to what you say. They don't care about what you say. They just want to get you. And he also said that if someone does happen to grab you, he said don't just give in. He said just start fighting. He said if they come up to you with a gun and they say get in the car or come here, he said don't get in the car. He said you turn around, you run and scream. He said because one, if the person has a gun, he said more than likely this person is not a sharpshooter. They can't shoot. He said one, if they shoot at you, they're not going to hit you most likely and you'll be able to run. He said two, if they do shoot you, he said you may just have a flesh wound or you just may be shot somewhere. He said don't stop and lay down. He said just keep running and keep on screaming until you can get somebody's attention, because this person doesn't want anybody's attention. So more than likely, he will leave you alone. He'll let you go. And he said, three, he said, if he does shoot you, he said, well, if you know the king, you'll be going to the kingdom. He said, because if once you get in the car with that person, they then no one will ever see you again. He'll be able to do everything that he wants to do to you, and that will be that. So he said, never, ever get in the car with the person, even if they have a gun or a knife to your at your throat or whatever. He said, never get in the car, because once you get in the car, it's all over. I think that was it.
I was waiting on
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I was waiting on you, Jennifer. Bless you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Very good information that she shared. And, you know, I think it's so foreign, Sister Ashley, that, you know, we just don't have the thought of just not being afraid to die as a whole, you know. And like she said, in this ministry, you should be okay with going to see the king. I mean, you know, isn't that what we're living for anyway? So we can't have this fear of leaving this earth at all. So we can't be afraid to just really fight for our life. We can't just lay down and just give up. So we really have to fight, you know, just for our life, because, you know, our life does depend on it. And if we go and we're with the king, we go to be with the king as a result of that, then hallelujah. And that's the mindset that we need to have even more. Sister Ashley?
Very good. And I got to reach those who are brand new. There's so many of the Father's gathering in this hour. You know, I remember when I was brand new to the way and how foreign it was to dress covered or modest or to have a head covering on. And the bondage that the enemy tries to put on you for wearing or, you know, for being modest and covering yourself, at least for me, maybe some of y'all can agree, that because it's so foreign to who you've always been, it draws attention, which you will always believe to be negative attention. You know, it draws looks or maybe just even in your own mind because of the fears that plague you and your insecurities. Because you're closed, now you got all this attention. Whether it's real attention or not, it's going in and out of places that can be uncomfortable, maybe, right? So I would always talk to the Father that I don't need this shame of being covered, because now I'm covered and I'm clothed in my right mind. I need, like, confidence. You know, like she said, you need to, when you're in the yellow, you're walking confidently. You're looking people in the eye. So sometimes just what may appear to be negative attention that you receive as a woman for being the way we are sometimes will make you look down or kind of, you know, float away from that attention or avoid certain things. So it kind of puts you in passivity, if that makes sense. So I'm glad that she called in. It's a very, just a good thought, you know, because I was born and raised in this small town. So when I came back to this small town, and this is where the people of Yah happen to be, for me, I'm going out seeing everybody that I always knew. It's different in big cities, I realize, but it took me a long time to actually overcome dressing the way I dress. So I hope that helps anybody. Anything come to your mind, Jennifer?
No, ma'am. Very well put. You know, I do have something that comes to mind. I remember when Deacon Bell and Sister Ashley came to visit us here in Georgia. And, you know, we took a walk and went to the park, which is right around the corner from where we live. And Sister Ashley did a really good video about being aware of your surroundings. And it was, she shared information with the viewers of what she had learned during a previous GOTS. So she was showing everyone how to scope out the area, how to be aware of your surroundings. And she was even, you know, putting the camera on us sisters, and saying that no one would even suspect that we were carrying weapons. No one would suspect us at all. And so it's really the perfect setup, you know, the holy dress, but we're prepared mentally and physically for anything, anything that might come our way. So thank you so much for calling in, Sister Chandra. Very good points that you brought up.
Oh, can I say one more? I think I found one more thing he said to he said to say too. I'm sorry. He said if someone does come up on you, he said, like, you know, when I was saying that when someone negates your no, he said when they do come up to you, he actually said, even though you don't want to use the word, he said, but use the F word if you have to. He said when they come up to you, he said, say back the F up, and he said say it with force, and he said because they won't be expecting that from you, and he said that will shake them and they'll leave. So, yeah. So, I know nobody wants to use that word, but he said that is the language that they will understand, and they'll see that you're not playing with them. So, yeah, I just want to put that out there too. We kind of laughed too, but he was saying, "No, I'm serious. That's what you need to do."
So, right. I think I'm laughing because I'm like, I'm probably the one that doesn't mind using that at all, actually. I need you to back the F up, dude. But I realize that there are so many blessed, lovely, meek sisters that don't want to throw that out there. Father, help me, Jesus. But it's a good point. Thank you, Sister Chandra.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom. All right, hallelujah. That was a very good call. We got a comment in the chat room saying that they do recall the video, Sister Ashley, that you did for the saints on scoping out the area. So if you all can find that on YouTube, I believe it's on Straightway Help Meets, and I think Pastor Dow may have put it up on his channel as well. But, you know, it's a very good video of how to scope out your area, how to be aware all the time. We shouldn't be so caught up in our cell phones or, you know, so caught up in other things that we have going on during the day that we're not sober. We really have to be sober when we leave our homes, you know, when we leave the land. We have to have a sobriety in us, you know, like that's just so mature, because people will take advantage of you if you're not sober, if you're focusing on something else, things that just don't even matter. I want to read a comment in the chat room. Sister Cindy Kendall says, "This was the first GOTS I attended.
I came into the truth only months ago. She says, I have to say, the peace and calmness that was on the land filled my heart. To meet other sisters and then come home and reevaluate my heart and what kind of helpmeet I have been to my husband has really changed my heart and who I truly want to be as a wife and mother. Yah has been moving in my heart on my obedience to my husband. So that is such
Hallelujah.
A great testimony. It really is a great response. And to really come on the land and to admire the honor that the sisters have for their heads, you know, their husbands, and to really be convicted and go home and to want to change those things in your own life speaks volumes. And that is the greatest form of preparation that you can have in your heart, because it says that you love Yah first.
Yes.
And then from there, you can follow the instructions and the preparation that you've been given from gathering of the saints. But I'm telling you, it's got to be in your heart first and foremost to love Yah. Sister Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. I only had one thought, and it wasn't based on that. So just because we're waiting on callers and I don't have any, I wanted to take it all the way back to the beginning of the show, Sister Jennifer, because I didn't add this to what you were saying. I liked your testimony of how you had, you know, you were able to call up your mom about rejection from the womb. And I think that's probably a term that some of us old timers are very familiar with. Some of us who have worked, you know, we are, everyone listening, we are a deliverance ministry for going on 20 years. So we're very familiar with demonic connections, ties, soul ties, roots, occult witchcraft. We're very familiar with how to cast out spirits. So rejection from the womb, I thought about, Sister Jennifer, if you wanted to add anything else to that, it might have been one of the first times we've ever even said that on the show. I just can't go back and remember if we've talked about it. But maybe as a mother, some or any of you might be guilty of rejecting your child from the womb, especially if you had hopes of it being a boy and it was a girl, or you had hopes of it was it's a girl, maybe it's a boy, et cetera. Whatever transpired in your mind to make you reject your child, especially if you didn't have a husband at the time, or whatever you may be going through in life made you so selfish. That's how you got to talk to the Father. Made me so selfish that I did not exalt this seed that you've given me, because now you could be possibly, I'm just throwing it out there, you could be reaping some of that rejection as a mother. You could be seeing some of it manifest in your child. But can we bring that back up, Jennifer? Do you have something else to say?
Yes, ma'am. You know what I think about is, you know, you talk about generation or rejection of the womb, and that is something that you have to go back generations and see, you know, if it falls in your line from generation to generation. And I remember Pastor Dow's testimony on receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know, it was important for me to cry out aloud and just, you know, to have the communion that he had with the Father, because he said it was for generations that he was repenting for. It wasn't just for himself. It was for the generations that were before him. And so when you're going into deliverance and, you know, you're, say, dealing with rejection from the womb, you have to go back. And when you're going into a mode of repentance, it's not just for you. It's for the generations that are before you. And you don't know how long that particular spirit has been circulating into your family. And you just know what you have to know is that you don't want it to continue to carry on to your children, so you want to put a stop to it, but you have to go back. You have to be willing to go back, and some of you are not, you know, you don't have the luxury of being able to call your mother or your grandmother or whomever it may be and ask the questions that I was actually able to ask, and that's where the Father comes in. You know, that's when you get before the Father, and he is the one that will give you the answers that you need in ways that you wouldn't even think of. One other thing that I wanted to say is, you know, as women, something that I have seen is that sometimes women will, they'll be pregnant and they'll
hope for a boy, you know, their whole pregnancy, the hope for a boy. And when they find out that they've delivered a girl, they're disappointed. And that right away is rejection. That's putting rejection on that child. So we need to really learn how to teach our daughters that they have great value. We have to teach them how valuable they are as chaste women. You know, we need to teach them how valuable it is to be honorable and how to be private, how to be chaste, that their bodies do not belong to everyone at all. And their body is to be kept private for their husband and their husband only. And that is something that, you know, we can't miss out on because it's been missed for us for so long. And so we have to get back to teaching our daughters the value that they truly do hold. Sister Ashley.
Very good. I had a good question. I won't say from Anonymous here in the Tabernacle. Can your child receive the same rejection when you put expectations on them that they don't meet, which is that correct how I said it? Yes, she says yes. Absolutely, our children can be rejected, receive rejected from birth. I mean, as soon as you have them, because they don't look like this or talk when they're supposed to talk or walk when, you know, everybody else's child is walking at this age. We just do this crazy comparison in America where we're just constantly at war with each other as women. And, you know, I remember early on it tried to tempt me because we have Judith is very smart and a very mature little girl. And she was doing and saying things that Zephan over here, like a year older, wasn't doing. And I had to check myself, like, wait a second. You know, even though it is a difference, I got a boy, and Nellie really helped me out. She's like, you don't have a little girl. There's just a lot of differences. So I was able to really catch some of the thoughts that the enemy was trying to bother me with, because we have such high expectations, as the anonymous sister says, we believe we're going to give birth to Jesus, when in actuality, no, we are. It's just another soul that we pray to be prosperous for the kingdom. So let's take away the false expectations. Let's take away the drive that you are putting on them, or the condemnation that you're putting on them, or, you know, as a woman, if you've made the mistakes of demanding certain things out of them that they're believing they have failed because of you. You know, women are very impactful in a child's life. It's a very scary balance that you have to learn. And as a new mom, you just experience so many things. You're gonna have failures. You're gonna learn. And you know what's interesting, Jennifer, is just even yesterday I repented to my 4-year-old. And that sounds really crazy because by no means does he control our house. Okay, so you would have to know Deacon's home to know that it's not how we function. But because of something that I did and said that he would never have caught what just happened, I sat him down and talked to him about it. And I wanted him to know that what just happened, how you saw, or what your mama just did was completely out of order. And that is why I told him, that's why, you know, because you're trying to condescend, you're trying to talk to your child. So that is why I need Jesus. That's why we need deliverance and we need help. That's why you hear mommy pray. You know, I'm trying to reach him like that because I have to pray my way through these things. And it was just an episode of, I guess you would say, frustration. It was just a manifestation of frustration just in a blink of a moment that could potentially affect him later on. So the way I said something or how I said what I said was not deserving of that. You understand that children are just a blank slate, born blank, and you're doing all the writing. So what comes to your mind, Jennifer, after that?
You know, you talked about the question that, you know, if your child can be rejected if they don't meet the expectations you have for them. And I wanted to just say that it could really instill within your child a lack of contentment, you know, and not seeing or appreciating what the Father has placed in them. So they could be looking at someone else, you know, and say, well, because I'm not or I don't have the giftings or I don't have what Zephan has, then the Father doesn't love me. And they could equate that to a lack of love. So you really have to instill within your child a level of contentment and an appreciation for what the Father is doing in their life. And those are the things that you as a mother should point out in them. You know, I know we have a little girl here who just loves to be a woman. She loves to cook. She loves to clean. She loves to serve the saints. She loves to make sure that the brothers are taken care of. She loves to ask, are you hungry? Are you ready for your dinner? Are you finished with your plate? She clears their plates. And, you know, those are things that are very important. And when she becomes a woman, when she gets older, those are things that she's really going to need. And so, you know, from a world standpoint, somebody could look at that and think that it's not very important. But in
right.
Israel, it really is. So we have to understand, you know, what's important and what's not important as well. And like Sister Ashley said, too, it's very important to be humble. You know, you could easily just say things and do things in front of your children and never go back, you know, in a humble way. And what that's going to do is it's going to teach them to be prideful. They're not going to want to exhibit a spirit of humility at all, and they're going to be prideful because mommy was prideful, and they're going to think that that was okay. Everybody will be okay because mommy was prideful, and that's what you'll teach them. So, Sister Ashley?
Yes, and with my, if you want to call it small act of humility with Zephan, he told Deacon what had happened. And the awesome thing about that is I want that to be expressed. See, a state of pride in us would like to hide who we are or what we've done, you know, because you feel the shame of it or whatever. And then, look, it wasn't even huge. It wasn't big. I just wanted him to know that that was frustration. Like, I want you to recognize that was frustration because that's not something that you need to see from your mother. But anyway, because he told Deacon, I was able to explain as well. So Deacon was able to even add to it and use it, you know, to teach his son. And I like that because it too, like we even talked about early in the show with community living, that too ups your standard as a mother and as a wife. You have this son who you're teaching to discern, and you have this husband who is teaching him to discern. Does that make sense? So you want to keep yourself in constant humility. If there are mistakes that are made, there are times, mothers, that you need to repent to your children. And that's just the honest truth. But I do have a phone call, Sister Jennifer. Would you like me to take it now?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to Arizona. Shalom, area code 928, you're live.
Shalom, this is Sister Rachel Fairley.
Oh, bless you.
Shalom.
Bless you as well.
Your first time on the land.
Bless you both.
Bless you.
Yes, my first time, I just wanted to call and say thank you so much for receiving me and all the love and everything that I got from all the sisters. And I just, first and foremost, just wanted to say thank you for that. And I'm still just so excited that I even got to stop by for only a moment. I hate that I missed God. I wanted to also say a special thank you to Sister Diane and Sister Nellie and especially Mother Carol for taking time out with me when I know that they must have been very tired after the whole weekend. And they just were so gracious. Everybody was so gracious. And that I said that I would call in and let everybody know that we got home safely, and I wanted to just say that as well. And one last thing is that I love to hear about any kind of parenting from you all because it blesses me a lot, and it's on my mind all the time since I don't have examples where I'm at of raising my children in according to scripture and within the culture of Israel. So everything that I can glean and learn from you guys is such a blessing and greatly appreciated. So thank you.
Hallelujah. And if I can say, Sister Rachel, you're the one that called into Pastor's Blog Talk and he said, I will stop doing whatever I am doing just to baptize you. And the awesome thing was you showed up because you didn't know our schedule. You were coming through the area. You had already came through, letting us know. You did all the proper communications that you could possibly do. And you show up 20 minutes before the entire line of people that was getting baptized gets baptized. I thought that was so awesome. I gave you all the glory for that because you didn't know what time other people were getting baptized. It was you coming through getting to be baptized. Wasn't that awesome?
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. I am still praising the Most High for that. I just feel like he went before me and got me there when I needed to be, even though it took 2 days to get there because of the weather. It was just fantastic.
Hallelujah. We won't forget you, and I kept the picture of your son with my son on the phone. So bless both of your children for me, both of the children that we met anyway, and just keep listening. And I pray that we always offer some form of help as far as parenting goes. We have so many excellent mothers in the ministry that are striving to be holy. So I pray that you always glean from us. Bless you.
Bless you as well. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Shalom.
Such a humble spirit. Jennifer, go ahead.
Yes, I was going to say it's so refreshing to hear such a humble spirit, just ready to learn, just with all meekness. And, you know, I know that that's the spirit that was exhibited when she called in to Blog Talk, you know, and how Pastor was just so willing to just drop everything. And, you know, you can tell that the Father is really ordaining her steps for her to show up 20 minutes before everyone else is baptized. So it's just such a blessing to hear from Sister Rachel. I do remember her calls to the sister-to-sister broadcast, so I know she listens, and you can tell that she's just listening and growing at the same time. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I had something come to mind that is so off topic, if I may go there. Jennifer, is that okay?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Hallelujah. You often would get this type of direction from the men in the ministry, so I don't assume myself to be authoritative when I talk about anointing your home, but I just wanted to bring it up because we have so many new listeners. It's something that we do. Our husbands do that for us. If you're married to a Hebrew, if you're not and you are single and you are the authority of your home, whether you own the home or not, you can anoint your home. So you would just conduct a simple, it's not even a service, but you would just take any oil. We like to use extra virgin olive oil, and we usually carry olive oil around with us, some in our purse or whatever. You'll see it in the tabernacle sitting in each window. We have oil all throughout the tabernacle because we do, use it for the anointing of healing or deliverance or our homes. But if it's something you've not ever done, maybe you would like to, you can bring your oil here to have someone, an elder or a pastor, to, let's say, bless it, but to actually say a prayer over it to make it be the function of anointing oil. And basically you're letting it be representative of the blood of Yeshua. And your husband can do that as well, but you would just bless it with his power and his authority. And your husband or yourself, being a single woman, or if you don't have a believing husband and you take it upon your own self and your own conviction to anoint your home, you can anoint your house, your doorways, your windows, whatever you would like, sides, tops. You can go everywhere with it. But you just ask Yah to continually shield your home, shield the windows, the doors, for any entranceway from demonic spirits, because you've now entered into the faith. This is a true way, a true walk, and this is where demonic activity goes down. So you would just pray that Yah will post angels at the openings of your home and watch over you. You can do it as frequent as you're led. Don't be religious about it. Just do it, you know, whenever and however you're led, as well as asking him to remove anything from your house that is not acceptable by him, because there's going to be a lot of movies, a lot of objects, not necessarily symbols. Let's say, for example, you have a Bible with a symbol on it, but you want your Bible. So, hey, you want your Bible. Don't get rid of your Bible because it has a bad symbol. You want to color it out? Color it out. You want to anoint it? Anoint it. You know, so there's so many different convictions that come about. But anything comes to your mind with that, Sister Jennifer? I don't know if y'all do it any different. I'm sure there's a way you've seen it to be done.
We actually do it the way that you described. And, you know, like she said, the important thing, too, is to make sure that you're not bringing anything in that is inviting demonic activity or demonic spirits. So really do a purging or a cleaning out of your home and go through your books, go through your clothing, go through anything that may represent something that is just unholy, you know, any type of signs or, you know, just something that might represent any type of demonic activity or give a doorway or a gateway for something to come into your home, be willing to get rid of it. We had a brother come and visit us one time, and he went home and did a sweep and just started really getting rid of things out of his home. So it really does not take long. Once you find out that you have things in your home that you shouldn't have, there's really no wavering. You know, it's just a matter of getting rid of it. There's no going back and forth. And she mentioned bringing your oil to, you know, have it prayed for so that it can become an object of anointing. We've got Tabernacles coming up October the 3rd. So I'm praying that you all, if you plan to bring your oil with you, if you plan to come to the land, I pray that you all have called the dining hall and given your dates. Pastor Dow made a video about giving your dates early. Now is the time to be giving your dates to the dining hall, to the sisters at Straightway, to pastor, so that they can logistically plan for receiving everyone. You know, he said to really receive that many people, no one truly understands what it takes to prepare for that amount of people. And if we really understood what it takes to prepare, we wouldn't wait until the last minute. So let's not wait until the last minute. Just be wise and call in. You know, call in tomorrow if you haven't done so. Call in no later than first day if you haven't done so, just so that your name can be put down and you could be prepared to be received.
Hallelujah. And with Tabernacles coming up, be prepared with what you want to bring as your we say goodwill offering, but something that you want to offer from the goodness of your soul, just given to the Father. And, you know, save up, do whatever you can. Even here, I don't have a job where I can offer money to the man of Yah or to the people. And so I just tried to give of myself. So even if that's something you can do when you get here, give of yourself wholeheartedly. Be ready to receive the Holy Spirit. You know we're a people of great power and authority because of Yah's seal upon us, not because of anything we've ever done, but because of our submission and obedience unto Him and His Spirit that He's given us. So you want to receive Him if you've never received Him. And if you don't receive His Spirit from now until then, be ready to receive Him when you get here. Really be prayed up and ask Him and beg Him for His Holy Spirit. Read Pastor Dow's newsletter. Ask Him for the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It will change your life. It will make things that are hard become easy. It will make things that are sinful become very easy to walk away from. You will now have a comforter and a great conviction. And pray for the real thing, because so many people receive the Spirit, but without great conviction, and they go on living the way that they've always lived. So we want to be special and a set-apart people unto the Father. So I just ask that you be ready. Be ready for all things. It's going to be a beautiful time. Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. And it's great that you brought up the newsletter. Please read that newsletter over and over again. Have it in your heart to really be seeking the Spirit of Yah. Really be seeking His gifts. You know, we should all be able to come together collectively and to edify the body, because that's the purpose. That is really the purpose of His gifts, is for the edification of His body. So go through the newsletter and really have a great anticipation in your heart. Be asking the Father, really crying out to the Father for His gifts, so that the body can be edified. We should be able to come together this time and really hear from the Father like never before. We should have an anticipation built up within us to hear
from him to edify, to be able to build up the body like never before. Go through and clean your temple, your personal temple, your body. Make sure that you're purging the sin from within you, anything that would hinder him from dwelling within you. So he's asking, you know, where is the house that you'll build for me? He says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool, but where is the house that you will build for me? So you need to really focus on building the home for the Most High, yeah, to actually dwell in. And that should be our focus. You know, it should have been our focus all along, but we really need to focus on it so that when we get to the feast, that we can actually build up and edify one another, and we can seek the Father together like never before. Sister Ashley, do we have any calls in the queue? We're not going to keep you all long tonight. If we don't have calls in the queue, we're going to go ahead and let you all go. So like she said in the beginning of the show, this we're not going to be before you long, so the calls will pretty much dictate the show tonight. Do we have any calls?
No more calls, my sister. I have one more thing I wanted to share from the beginning of the show, if I may, and I'm done as well.
Sure. You go ahead and share and close out the show for us.
Hallelujah. Thank you to each and every caller. Bless y'all who did call in and share anything, so I'll end the show with this. You heard my testimony of how... Hey, I got a text that has a question, okay? So wait a second. All right, I'm going to read that after me. I have testified earlier of how wonderful I believe it is to be pregnant, and I also would like to say that being amongst the people here on the community that's very, very special people, not just to me but to the Father, there is no one lazy here. And I have told you all before, and I mean it with all sincerity, that laziness and idleness of time is a despite in the Father's eyes. He has made us to move, to walk, to breathe, to function, to continue to stay active, and to labor with our hands. And so becoming pregnant, do not make the excuse. Don't allow your flesh, no matter what you feel like, to make the excuse of being lazy. I've had the question asked to me before, what do you do when you're sleepy, or what do you do when you want a nap, or when you want to sit down or lay down or whatever. You can talk to Angelica or myself. There were people here that were pregnant before, you know, myself or before Angelica. We are not afforded those opportunities. So I also, at the same time, because I'm not given the opportunity to take a nap when I may feel like I want a nap, because I got to keep going and I got things to do, I don't really, if you want to say, tolerate the excuses of lazy women. We have that problem, Daughters of Zion. We have a great, great problem of being lazy. And I don't say it with passion to convict you. I say it with sadness, because I cannot ever testify to any of you that I have seen one person that was lazy ever change. I've never seen anyone lazy become a positive thinker, get off their ass and do something. They usually end up falling away and falling by the wayside. So it doesn't matter if you're pregnant or whatever excuse you may have of your feelings or what your flesh feels like or your weight or whatever you got going on hormonally. You have got to move. You don't understand how important it is and how much it'll edify your very soul and your being. So I put that out there as hopefully a conviction to anyone who is pregnant. Of course, you may have someone who is bedridden because they're bleeding, or on bed rest because toxemia, etc. So there are things that are going to make you have to sit down. But at the same time, we believe in being such an example here, showing you that all this shit that the world says you can't do, you can't lift this, you can't bend, you can't move, you can't go here, and you can't go. That's BS. It's BS, y'all daughters. Do not believe what the world says you can't do. They put so many restrictions on you that they're binding you to their laziness. And it edifies your soul to keep moving. I could do a show on this, but I won't. So I'm done. Jennifer, before I read this question, did you want to add to me?
I just want to add that, you know, laziness represents an idle mind.
your mind will be so idle, and the devil, you're just really inviting the devil to come in and just really have his way with your mind. And the idleness of mind will lead to abominations, the things that Yahweh hates. It's really not only about a physical state, but it's a mental state too, because if you're lazy, then you're not in your word enough either. You know, you're not spending time with Yah enough either. So there's really a connection that goes way beyond the physical aspect. It affects your mind. It affects your spirit as well. Sister Ashley.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to ask you this question that I was sent via text. How does rejection play with you when you desire another child? She says, I say stuff like, okay, she has a small child. She says this stuff. I say stuff like, mommy wants another baby. And sometimes her child looks upset. And she explains that it's for him. You know, it's for you to be a big brother. She's saying, am I handling this the correct way? Explaining that it's not to replace him. How would you tell this sister to respond, Jennifer, to her child if she's saying mommy wants another baby and he's giving looks like being upset?
I guess it really depends on the maturity of the child. You know, like a smaller child who is not really mature may not understand the reason that mommy would even want another baby, because, you know, the child could think, well, there's something wrong with me, so mommy wants another baby. But instead of just saying that, you know, one day you'll be a big brother, or, you know, one day you'll be a big sister, just whatever. But to me, that would be the best way to handle it, is, you know, telling that child one day you're going to be. So instead of, you know, I want another, or really coming from the standpoint of, you know, the husband, this is the husband's child. So one day you're going to be a big brother to daddy's new child or something like that. But instead of, you know, just saying that I want another baby, you know, that could just be kind of sharp to a child. They may not understand, even though that's not your intent. So with children, you kind of have to explain a little different. But, you know, just tell them how exciting it is, that how mature, you know, your child is, how mature you are. And the father is really trusting that you're so mature that you're going to be able to teach your brother or a sister one day. And you're going to have to show them what you have learned. And so that's the way that I would personally go about it. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Can't add to that. I would like to say very good question. I know it benefited many, and very good answer, Sister Jennifer. I'll end the show if you don't mind. We don't have any more callers.
No, ma'am. I don't mind at all.
All right. Well, bless you all, and thank you, and special thank you to Mother Carol and Sister Bobby, who do always tell me, you are getting big. It is your third trimester, and you just don't need to be lifting that heavy weight. Okay, so I do acknowledge those who make you think common sense. But bless you all. We love you, and we're here for you. So when we're here for you and we open calls for you, that's the time for you to give us a shout and let us know if you need us. We'll be back next week with a great show, a great topic. It's already brewing in Sister Jennifer's mind. So if anything has convicted you tonight, rejection of your children, rejection of the womb over your children, anything hopefully even associated with anointing your home. Maybe we have made some sort of thought process or impact on your mind to make you make a small change. We love you with all that we know how. We bless you in the sweet, victorious, and precious name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And we bless Pastor as he is arriving home tonight from his busy life and busy trips. We'll see you the same time next week. We look forward to tomorrow night's blog talk. If you're new to us and new to our show, tune in to Pastor Dow. Tomorrow night, blog talk radio. Call-in number is the same. Listen to him live. Shalom, shalom.
And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.